Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Some years ago, a lawyer named Josh McDowell set out to prove that the Bible was wrong and that Jesus was not who he said he was. It turned out that McDowell found the Bible to be true, and he made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. I hope that you will continue your study with us as lay teacher Tom Murray continues presenting his case for the truths of the Messiah as presented in the Old Testament. Keep listening.
Well, welcome back to the Lay Disciple study in the Messianic prophecies. And we finished with the timetable for the Messiah in Daniel chapter 9 in our last broadcast. But I'd like to look at some other evidence that we have that would confirm that Jesus of Nazareth is in fact the Messiah. And when we looked at the three sections of the Old Testament, the way Jews divide up the Bible, as I reminded you, they have the same 39 books that you have in your English Bible, but they're not arranged in exactly the same way. Your English Bible ends with the minor prophet Malachi. The Hebrew Old Testament ends with the book of 2 Chronicles, because they group the scriptures as the law, which is the five books of Moses, then the prophets, which include all the prophets, major and minor, and finally what they call the writings, which would be books like Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those are books that lie outside of the law and outside of the prophets. So when we went through all three of those sections, we dealt with the prophecies directly from the Hebrew Scriptures in relationship to the first coming of the Messiah. I think we have clearly shown that Jesus is the only person who could possibly fulfill all of the prophecies that we've explored. Now, associated with the Christian interpretation of the scriptures that we have examined, there are certain doctrines which are consistently regarded under Judaism as being contrary to Hebrew scripture, and that's what makes some of our Christian arguments wholly unacceptable to any Jew. Basically, there are two doctrines that really are offensive and unacceptable to the Jewish mindset. One is the belief that Messiah is actually God. They cannot or will not see from the scriptures that Messiah was to be God himself incarnate. Secondly, they cannot come to grips with the belief in God as being a triune being, that is, one God existing in three persons. So they believe that Christians are polytheistic. They believe in three gods. We call the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where in their great Shema, they say, "Hear, O Israel, our God is one," and that becomes a real issue to the Jewish mindset. Now, these two doctrines, the doctrines that Messiah was in fact God and man, and secondly, that God is a triune being, these two doctrines are really closely related to one another. It's only possible to believe that Messiah is God if he is considered to be one member of the triune Godhead. Now, it's commonly stated that these beliefs by Christians are thoroughly un-Jewish, and that they are simply the invention of Christianity, and that all these ideas actually originated in the New Testament, which Jews reject. Well, it should be pointed out, first of all, that the New Testament is just as Jewish as the Old Testament. It has been written entirely by Jewish men. One of the chief writers of the New Testament was Rabbi Saul, known later as the Apostle Paul, and Saul studied under Rabbi Gamaliel, and that was considered the ultimate teacher of Judaism in his day. You'll find that in Philippians 3, verses 5 to 6, and also in Acts 22, verse 3. Now, although it is commonly stated that any concept of plurality in the Godhead is totally alien or foreign to Judaism, there is at least one place in Jewish literature where this is not the case. The author of the Zohar sensed a plurality in the tetragrammaton, that is, the YHWH, that they use for the personal name of God. And the author of the Zohar wrote this, "Come and see the mystery of the word YHWH. There are three steps, each existing by itself. Nevertheless, they are one, and so united that one cannot be separated from the other. The ancient one, or the ancient holy one, is revealed with three heads, which are united into one, and that head is three exalted. The ancient one is described as being three, because the other lights emanating from him are included in the three. How three can be one can only be known through the revelation of the Holy Spirit." Now that's the Jewish author of the Zohar. Now, of greater importance, however, is the teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures themselves. A number of messianic prophecies have already been studied very clearly in our previous sessions, and they clearly teach that Messiah would be both God and man. But there are several other lines of evidence that we can explore to justify our belief in God as a triune being. It can be shown that the doctrine of the Trinity actually originates in the Hebrew Scriptures of the Old Testament and is merely developed and clarified in the New Testament Scriptures. So let's talk about this issue of the plurality of the Godhead. The word for God most commonly used in the Hebrew Scripture is the word Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. It is generally agreed that Elohim is a plural noun, having the masculine plural ending of I-M. The very word Elohim, used of the one true God in Genesis 1:1, is also used of false gods in Exodus 20 verse 3 and Deuteronomy 13 verse 2. Now in Genesis 1:1 we read, "In the beginning God," that is Elohim, "created the heavens and the earth." Now the way you pluralize a word in Hebrew is by adding the ending I-M. It is also a masculine ending. So it says in Genesis 1, "In the beginning Elohim," a masculine plural noun in the Hebrew language, "created the heavens and the earth." I'm reading from the New American Standard. Later in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, God said, "You shall have no other gods, Elohim, before me." In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 2, "And the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, Let us go after other gods," that is Elohim, "whom you have not known, and let us serve them." While the use of the plural Elohim does not prove a triunity, it certainly opens the door to a doctrine of plurality in the Godhead, since it is the same word, Elohim, that is used for the one true God in the verses we read. It is also used to refer to many false gods. Now, this really causes a problem for the rabbis in Judaism. In the Siddur, S-I-D-D-U-R, which is the Sabbath prayer book compiled by Rabbi Hertz, it says concerning that passage in Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth," here's what Rabbi Hertz had to say. The plural is to denote the plenitude of might. God comprehends and unifies all the ends of eternity and infinity. But you see, the fact remains, however, that although the word does not of itself prove a plurality within the Godhead, it certainly does open the door to that concept. It is sometimes said that one word had to be used, that this one word, Elohim, had to be used in both contexts, since there is no alternative to that word in Hebrew. Now, this is not true, because the singular form of Elohim is the Hebrew word Eloah, E-L-O-A-H. That's the singular form. And that singular form is used in Hebrew passages like Deuteronomy 32:15-17 and Habakkuk 3:3. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:15. "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation." In verse 16 of Deuteronomy 32, "They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread." And then Habakkuk 3:3, "God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise." Now, the singular form could have been used at Eloah consistently, but it's found in only 250 places in the Hebrew Scriptures, as compared to 2,500 times that the plural form is used in the Hebrew Scriptures. So the far greater use of the plural form tends to turn the argument in favor of plurality in the Godhead rather than against it. Well, I'm out of time, so I'll pick you up there next time in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I hope that these programs are helping you get a better understanding about God's plan and how you fit into it. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. You can also contact us through our website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of the radio programs. Now, join us tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.